JG 1. Number 19A.
We see then that the word order is of the nature that the word at Christian Science of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Now, what we want to see is what that particular order means in our life. Always we want to identify with it. So if we turn to page 80, I think it's 48 in the study aid. And here we have the word order and the law of creativity as seen from the divine subjective and the human subject, the divine standpoint and the human standpoint, which is really showing us, therefore, how the divine has its impact on the human, which we now know is a level of Christian Science. Therefore, we will see that when that one life, which is the life, truth, and love, comes to us, it has an impact, and we will see how that works through the law of interdependence next. But right now, we just always are aware that the higher gives power to the lower, and that it's a one life, as life, truth, and love is causing this divinely subjective standpoint to say, I am mind, and through implication, therefore, I am not mortal mind. Therefore, I, mind, have as my divinely objective nature is that I am intelligent. And that has an impact on the human. Because the whole thing is always coming to us through the Christ translation, his translation we saw on those levels, that the overriding idea is the Christ idea, which translates God to man and takes away everything that isn't like man. That's not just the Christ vertical I speak at, but the whole Christ idea behind the model of being is coming, therefore causing this divinely subjective downward causation to happen of mind saying, I am mind, I am not mortal mind, I am of the nature of intelligence. That has an impact then on the human, which will cause it to go through a phase translation of, first of all, though it comes to the human and says, I have an impact as bringing to the human, bringing to you wisdom. We aren't wise. It's not because we are so wise that we have wisdom. It's because that the power downward thrust of being is causing mind to be mind and say, I am mind, not mortal mind. My subjective nature is intelligence. Therefore, I come and have a human an impact on your life, and I bring to you wisdom to choose what is right from wrong. And because that comes to us, it causes in the human, the humanly subjective attitude that we seek God. So therefore, this is showing us then that mind comes to us and causes us to seek God. Seeks the mind in us, and that mind responds and seeks God. It's the self-similarity, mind seeking the mind in us, and through the Christ makes us respond. It's already there. I mean, it's seeking what's there, because that's our, all that's going on is God. So it's just, that's that Christ coming and trying to find that which is like God. If it found it on the absolute Christian Science level, it would go right on. But on the Christian Science level, it comes and it seeks itself in us, and it makes us turn and seek God, and therefore it causes us to go through the phase transition and give up any ignorance in us about God, about mind. And then through that overall Christ idea and the impulsion of the one life as the life, truth, and love behind mind. Now spirit causes spirit to say, I am spirit. I am not matter. I am divinely the only substance of reality, and that has the impact on your consciousness to have you be pure, not only to have the wisdom to turn away from what is unreal to that which is real. Now it has that ability for us to focus on that which is real. And then humanly subjective affects our attitude to choose the spiritual over the material. And so spirit has come and sought the spirit in us. We respond, turn away from the material, turn to the spiritual, and go forward into purity and into substance and into spirit. It brings us back to spirit and causes us to give up the belief of duality within us, or spiritualism within us. And then through the downward causation principle, God appears as soul and says, I am soul, I am not sense testimony, and I am divinely objective. My identity is I am the only identity. I am that balanced ego, the one God, and I come to the humanly objective standpoint, and I touch you with spiritual understanding. Therefore, I have brought to you the wisdom to know right from wrong, and therefore the purity to stick to what is right. And now that sticking to what is right and focusing on that calculus of ideas gives you the spiritual understanding to respond. And in your attitude now, you have the sense of self-abnegation where you're willing now to give up all that is of the personal ego and respond back to God. So it's that influx of soul seeking the soul in us that causes us to have the humility to say, not my will, but thine be done. The mortal would never do that. But because of this downward causation and the retranslation, it forces us to bend the knees and to give up our will for the divine ego. And therefore, that annihilates any sense of sin in us, which is just missing the mark, deviating away from the truth. If we didn't obey the command of wisdom and purity to stick to the mark, that's sin. That's deviating away from that pure standpoint. Then principle comes to us through the downward causation, seeking the principle in us. Principle says, I'm principle, I'm not person, I'm not personality, I'm not people, I'm not personal organizations. I have that divinely objective nature as being the one principle, the one self-organizing power at work. And I have an impact on the humanly objective standpoint. I come to you as spiritual power. Meaning if you have that wisdom now to know what is right from wrong, and you stick to what is right and have been faithful to that spiritual understanding, that now gives you spiritual power. And that causes us then to respond to principle, to be obedient to principle. And it gives up any sense in us that we lack obedience, that we're disloyal to the principle, we're dishonest to the principle, we try to cheat the principle. It also gives up in us any sense of an anthropomorphic God, because we know now principle isn't personality, it's laws. And then life comes to us in a downward causation, saying, I am life, I am not death, I am not mortality. I have within me the divinely objective qualities of infinite individuality and eternity and the newness of life. And that comes to you as love, what, your neighbors? Not at this point. That's Christianity. You'd hear that tone in there. But love here means to love life. And I love life so much that humanly subjective attitude is I'm willing to lay down my mortal concept of life. So everything has its impact. You can't just use any expression here. It always stays within the word. We're responding back to life within the word here. It isn't a lovey-dovey sense of Christianity there that has love would take on another tone, huh? Here it's, we love life so much and the principle of life so much, we're willing to lay down our sense for that life. And that gives up in us any pride of an individual life or life of our own. Then through the downward causation, truth comes to us. It says, I am truth, I am not error. I have that divinely objective nature in me to be truth consciousness, to be the truth. I have the impact on you humanly, objectively, to be a standpoint of health. If you have had the wisdom to true right, to choose right from wrong, and the purity to stick to what is right, and the spiritual and that's brought you spiritual understanding, which brings you spiritual power, and it's only with that spiritual power can you love life so much to give up your mortal sense of life. You couldn't have done it on your own power. Then it also brings you health, a healthy whole consciousness, enables you from the humanly objective to have the attitude to affirm the truth and not to deny the truth. And then that downward causation comes where love comes to us and says, I am love, I am not nothingness, I'm the all. And I have within me the divinely objective nature to be perfect. And that has the impact on us humanly objective now to be holy. Ourselves, we're not holy because we are of our own self holy, but because love makes us express holiness in all that we do through our unity with God. We have that inseparable union, that wholeness now with God, that love sought the love with us. It gave up that belief of nihilism, that we believe that only life can lead to nothingness and to complete destruction. So you see, this is the impact of that self-organizing, non-linear, vertical laws on the human, having its impact. The divine, the non-linear, the vertical, has its impact on the linear, the horizontal, and causes this evolutionary phase transition for us to go through in order that we are like mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. At this standpoint of the word, it's just a statement. The Christ brings it to our life and makes it happen. This just saying, the word always tells you what's going to happen. The Christ makes it happen. And Christianity is the outcome of it, isn't it? The healing of it. And then the science vertical tells us the science behind it. But the word always declares what it is, what's happening, and what's going to happen. It always gives you the plan, the goal that we are programmed for success with. It's a nice exercise, isn't it? Very nice. I love it. It's the God seeking the God in us. And there it is, right there, that one can just use that in practice if we feel that we're out there alone and God doesn't know us. Well, go over this exercise along with the one life and the life, truth, and love is impelling God seeking the God in us. It's terrific practice with this law of interdependence as we see here in the Word. Now, if we want to go to page, I believe it's 86 in the study aid, and I asked us to do these points also in your study questionnaire, you'll see I've asked to look over these various points in the questionnaire, so I am covering those points that you have prepared yourself for, and this was one amongst the other points that we've already discussed.
Thank you.
In those questions that I sent out. Now, this was one also. I asked you to look at this page 86 and see how the elaboration of the law of interdependence in the work works through a fourfold process. And I gave page 86 in the study aid as a reference. So here we see quite nicely then that this has an impact on our life. And it isn't something that doesn't operate, that when the downward causation goes on, that it is operating quite actively in our everyday life experience, when the one life as life, truth, and love, that law of the divine success mechanism is happening. Now it's just showing how it's happening in the world. Do you see how that law of the divine success mechanism was behind God seeking the God in us? Now it's saying that, I'll show you that in a fourfold way. If that one life as life, truth, and love is the downward causation power, it's coming to us as mine here and saying, all right, it says, when God says, I am mind, I am not mortal mind, I'm objectifying myself as intelligence, then that same law is coming and saying, okay, then what you have seen in that last exercise is that whole law of the divine success mechanism is coming and saying, in its word aspect, that God is saying, I am mind. But it also has a Christ aspect, which enables to say, oh, all right, then that mind, which is God, is my mind. You see, if mind is seeking the mind in us and we respond, then the outcome is we can say, well, now that's my mind. If we were transparent enough with the exercise we just did on page 48 in the study aid, where mind sought the mind in us, and we responded by seeking mind, then now we can say, oh, well, now that mind, which is God, is my mind. And that has annihilated the belief in me that I have a mind of my own, Christianity. And therefore, from the science aspect, I can see then therefore there is only mind. There is no mortal mind going on at all in the universe. It was just mind seeking the mind in me. And through the word aspect, that happened. That there is only mind, and now in the Christ aspect, I see the Emmanuel aspect, that mind now is my mind. I understand that because mind has awakened that understanding in me, that spiritual understanding in me, and now I know through the Christianity aspect, it has annihilated in me any belief that I have a mind of my own. Well, anyhow, the science aspect and explanation is there's only one mind. There's no mortal mind anyhow. Can we see? Another good exercise to take along with this, a success mechanism. All important to do these exercises, because it's just following along these laws that we really begin to see that the structure of reality is a structure of our consciousness. It's a logical flow that we're doing in our consciousness along the laws of God that enable us to get the spirit of it, so we're one. So these things we just do in our own exercises we go through. Then we see that when that one life, as life, truth, and love, comes as the word and says, I am spirit, I am not matter, and has sought the spirit in us, and we have responded, and then we say, oh, in the Christ aspect, that's Emmanuel, that spirit is my spirit. In the Christianity aspect, I have no spirit of my own. In the science aspect, oh, there is only the spirit which is God. There is no matter, no material nature, no material sense, animal nature, material nature, material sense, material sciences in the world. There is just this sense that I adhere only to that spiritual science with all the qualities of spirit within me. I'm spirit's idea. Then the one life is life, truth, and love comes to me, and as the word aspect I saw, that principle God said that I am soul and sought the soul in me, therefore the Christ aspect, the Emmanuel is, I now can say then that soul which is God is my soul. and in the Christianity aspect, I have no other soul than the soul which is God. And anyhow, there's only the soul which is God. Therefore, I can see that's totally annihilated any sin in me to want to miss the mark. Or that one life is life, truth, and love, and the word aspect comes as principle we saw and said, I am principle, I'm not personality. That has an Emmanuel sense. It says, okay, I now see then that that principle, which is God, is my capital principle that I stick to. I have no little principles of my own. So you can see in that word aspect that life, truth, and love is coming to me as God saying, I am principle with a capital P. And therefore the Emmanuel aspect is, therefore that principle which is God is my capital principle. And that is annihilating with me any sense that I have a little principles of my own in Christianity. Or a little soul of my own. That's why that they're not capitalized there. Or a little spirit of my own. A little mind of my own. I don't, because mind has sought the capital mind in me. Spirit has sought the capital spirit in me. Soul has sought the capital soul in me. Principle has sought the capital principle in me. Life has sought the capital life in me. Truth has sought the capital truth in me. Love has sought the capital love in me. And so now we see that in the Christ aspect, then that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is my capital mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And that annihilates in the Christianity any sense that I have a little mind of my own, a little spirit of my own, a little soul of my own, a little principle of my own, a little life of my own, a little truth of my own, or a little love of my own. Because there is only the one principle, therefore there can be no little principles of my own or no little personal sense. And because life, God comes and says, I am life, then I, in the Emmanuel aspect, I see that I, that life which is God is my capital life. I have no little life of my own. There is only the one life which is God, of which I am that life, capital life idea. Therefore, there's no death because it's just life, capital life, living, capital life. See, this is how that Christian Science level will hook back up to the science level again. And become a scroll, which becomes a circle, which then through the ascending and descending, because the goal is capital life, seeks the capital life in us. And this exercise shows, well, anyhow, there's only capital life in being. It hooks it back to the science level. Or the one life, as life, truth, and love, comes as capital truth, and enables us to say, oh, I see now through the exercise I did that that capital truth is the capital truth in me. And that annihilates in me any belief that I have a truth of my own. Why? Because there's only the capital truth. I have no little truths of my own, no mortal manhood of my own that I have to get on a soapbox in Hyde Park in London and tell everybody about all these little truths I believe in. That truth is bringing the truth to the universe, including man, and that truth will win out. It has nothing to do with all of us trying and having to perpetuate our little concepts of what we think is true. Truth is seeking the truth in the universe, including man, including us, and it's everything is responding. So as I say, see, everything under this law and practice, the universe, the earth, all that's on earth, the whole ecological balance, everything, all under this law. Then the one life, as life, truth, and love, is coming as love and saying, I am love, and therefore it sought the love in us. And so now it's the Christ aspect of Emmanuel says, oh, well, that love which is God is my love. I have no other love than the love which is God. And that, therefore, annihilates within me any aspect that I have a love of my own. The only love I have is a love for God, a love for the Word, a love for principle. Therefore, we could see that I was willing to lay down my mortal concept of life to affirm the truth, and now that gives me unity with love, God. And anyhow, there's only love going on in the world. It's just love, which hooks us back up to the level of science itself. It's just love being its own infinite love. And therefore, that annihilates any sense in the world of fear. My goodness, think of how everyone suffers from fear and anxiety. All these opposite claims of the realm of love today. The terrific claims of false sense of responsibility, not feeling one with God, feeling the condemnation of Adam to till the ground, that we have to do it, that workaholic sense in being, that I'm not going to succeed, that this law of the divine success mechanism is in its opposite. It looks like, will I make it? Will it be right? Will I succeed? Therefore, I better work, climb the corporate ladder, make lots of money, put it in the bank, so I'll make sure I'll always be secure. The money that we have is our spiritual capital. That's all we really need. This is the greatest principle that we can have in the bank, is this principle. And the more that we culture this spiritual capital in our consciousness, we don't have to then look to the neighbor for our money, or to our work for our money, or to inheritance for our money. We don't need somebody to pass on to leave us money. All this business, that's just living off of death or living off of something else. We turn away from all that and we turn to that infinite principle life. And we say that all our capital comes from is out of the principle life itself, through this law of the one life, truth and love. That out of that principle life, life is always providing us out of the one life, as life, truth, and love, the whole abundance, the whole reservoir of the abundance of the ideas of mind, which is my mind, all the abundance of the ideas of spirit, which is my spirit, all the abundance of the ideas of soul, which is my soul, all the abundance of the ideas of principle, which is my principle, all the abundance of the ideas of life, which is my life, capital L, all the abundance of the ideas of truth, which is my capital truth, all the abundance of the ideas of love, which is capital love. That's all the capital I need, because it's those ideas that are rewarded, what they call in the world money. But Bucky Fuller always said, don't work for money. Don't choose a career just to make money. That's the effect. You're going after the result. Go after ideas. Take a career that you love and you want to do. Even though the road looks you'll never make a dollar at it, take what you like. And that will, because that's all based on ideas and on creativity, and the intelligence of mind comes forth in the separating process within us of spirit, and the joy of soul. If we do something that we don't like, who feels creative about it? It's just, gotta go to work again. You know how when you ask somebody to come in to help around the house or something, you know the worker that comes bouncing in the door and says, where's the television? I'll come fix it. Or the one that comes in the door and it just grumbles all the way through, and you know he just can't stand the job. And you say, do you like work? No, not really. I wish I'm just working just for money, just for living. I can't stand this work job. The thing is, if the situation is such that we can, if we're listening to being, to just take the chance that these laws are operating, do follow the vision that comes to all of us. All of us have a vision of what our role is, what our mission is, what we should do, what we like. We know what we like. Go for it. Don't hold back because we think we'll make more money at something else.